This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Andrew and enter promo code Andrew at checkout.
What the Tech?
Hey, everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarian. This is a very early morning show. It's 8 o'clock here on the East. It's 1 o'clock in the UK. Paul Thurrott, live from Manchester. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good. How are you?
You
sound a little more husky and sultry today.
Yeah, look at this. I can keep up with you. This is what I sound like on some of my shows. You know, by the time it's time to record What the Tech normally, you know, we do it at 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday or Tuesday. I have been defeated by the day. And I have gone up to a whiny, nasally, high-pitched voice by that point. But this is normally what I sound like generally throughout the day. I'm happy. I'm going to seize the day. This is my day. And then by noon, I have curled up in a ball. I'm laying in a nude somewhere in the corner of my bedroom, and I'm crying to myself.
Next to an empty bottle of Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Just wondering what the hell went wrong.
So, Paul, you're in Manchester right now.
I am.
And a nice-looking hotel.
It is a nice hotel.
Yeah, nice-looking hotel there in Manchester. Why did you go to Manchester? I'm still a little confused.
I came here to record Windows Weekly Live with Mary Jo Foley at the Stacked 2015 conference, and Mary Jo spoke at the show. I just came in to do the podcast.
I heard she was great.
Yeah, it was really nice, and we did. It's funny. I took a couple pictures of this. I should probably post a few more of them. But this event was actually held at a comedy club, so I have finally appeared as I've always suspected I could at a comedy club
as a clown.
As literally the clown prince of technology.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I heard Mary Jo did great. Now you're going to London tomorrow.
That's right.
And then Steph is coming to see you.
Yeah, she's flying out Friday night, so she'll arrive there on Monday.
I was talking to Jess about this morning while I was typing away to you, and I'm like, you know, Stephanie's going there on Saturday. She goes, wait, she's going there for like a day and a half? I go, listen, would you take a day and a half in London for the weekend? She goes, absolutely.
It's two pretty full days, and then she leaves on Monday. But it's better than nothing, and it wasn't super expensive. I got a killer deal on a hotel there, and I don't know how, but I had a couple hundred dollars worth of credit on Expedia somehow, and it was almost like they were paying me to go there.
Wow, that's great. I have a story for you for the bonus show. We'll do a very quick bonus show if we have time.
It's going to have to be very quick.
Yeah, it'll be very quick. But I'll talk about how ridiculous flying in some states is in the United States, because even though it's an international airport, guess what? They don't fly out internationally from that airport.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Florida, I'm talking to you. I will get to that. We have a lot to talk about. I want to talk about some of the trends I've noticed with people's shopping habits for the holidays coming up. It's alarming for some companies, and I'm shocked to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about some Windows news, some things that I've noticed last week due to the update and everything else. But before we do that, I want to talk about a great sponsor of ours. And you know what, guys? There's a reason why I am in such a great mood this morning. I sound great. I look at my skin. My skin looks great. I got some ridiculous haircut going now. And it's because of Casper. I sleep on a Casper mattress. For people who don't know what Casper is, I've been talking about that for a while. Paul has a Casper. I have a Casper. They are a state-of-the-art mattress company. They're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms, and they're passing the saving down to the consumer. I'll tell you why. King-size mattress, phenomenal mattress. And you know what's funny? Before I get into the copy, yesterday I met with a guy. His name is Lewis. He works at Press, the place that I go to, the bar restaurant that I go to. Paul, he's a huge fan of yours.
Okay.
I mean, like, he loves you. He loves you. And he turned around and he goes, Andrew, I got a question for you. Like, you talk about you could talk about Casper. You talk about the other ice. Do you use a Casper? Do you actually sleep on a Casper? I go, yeah.
Right.
And
right.
He thought that was ridiculous. He's like, do you really? I'm like, absolutely. I don't use. There's not one product I advertise that I don't use. The only one that I don't use is Braintree. And that's because I'm not developing an app, but I know plenty of people that have used it. So when I'm telling you about a company, when I'm telling you about my sleeping experience on this thing, I'm actually talking about my personal experience. I've told you 1,000 times, and I'll tell you again, I went from a very expensive $20-something $100 mattress that I absolutely hated every single day, and I slept on this thing for 6 to 7 years, and it was awful. I got it because I have 4 herniated discs in my back. My back is shot. I mean, for someone that is not a professional athlete, I have a lot of damages done to my body in that sense, but I got the Casper the first night, and I slept on the floor because I didn't even have the foundation yet. I had nothing. I got the mattress. I got sick of this stupid mattress that I was sleeping on. I threw it out. I dragged it out of my house. The Casper mattress, I lifted the box. I brought it upstairs. I cut the packaging. I cut the, it's like air compressed, opened up. I slept on the floor and was the best sleep I've ever gotten. This is since last January. So listen, I could tell you 1,000 reasons why. 100-day guarantee period that you could use this as a trial. If you don't like it, guess what? No hassle. Your money's back. It's right yours. And Casper mattresses are made in the USA. Save $50. Save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to Casper.com/Andrew. That's Casper.com/Andrew and entering the promo code Andrew at checkout. Listen, these are great guys. They're here in New York. I love supporting local business, and apparently they love supporting us also. They've been with us for a long time, and I can't speak. I could talk about these guys for hours, but I can't because I got to do a show. But Casper.com, guys, go check them out. I want to thank Casper for supporting What the Tech, and of course for supporting the GFQ network. See, I love doing that. I love talking about something that I know, from personal experience. I could tell you, like, listen, these guys are awesome. Go use them. So I want to talk about that guy Lewis because he really. I was talking to him. I had lunch with him. He's a brilliant, brilliant kid. And I say kid, he's 22, but to me, a 22-year-old is a kid. It's funny how that happens, right, Paul?
All right, to me, you're all children, but yes.
But, you know, he's coming. He came up with this really good idea for a startup, and I get presented these ideas all the time. I don't want to say what it is because I don't want to, you know, give away whatever he's doing. But he told me the idea, and I'm having a beer, and I'm eating my sandwich, and I actually looked at him and I go, Lewis, I thought this was going to be the dumbest idea, but this is actually brilliant. And he goes, what? Really? He goes, that's a Paul answer. I go, you know what? I guess it rubbed off.
Wow.
I don't know
if that's a positive effect, but I'm happy to have an effect.
So I wanted to talk to you about this. I had lunch with my family the other day, and we were talking about, they were asking me, like, what should I buy, you know? My son wants this. He wants a laptop. He wants a tablet. They want a new phone. And I was shocked that almost every single one of them this year, nobody picked an Apple product.
Interesting.
I was shocked. And I really think it's attributed to the commercials people are seeing right now. Amazon has a commercial for that $49 tablet.
Yep. Yeah.
That was the biggest question I got asked. How is that tablet? Would you recommend that tablet? And I've never used it, so I can't really speak about it. And I go, well, listen, it's $49. What's your other option? They go, well, I was thinking about an iPad Mini. And I go, I would go with the iPad Mini, but you know what? $49
You can buy six of those tablets for the price of
you
one
can buy,
iPad
You
Mini.
Can buy more. How much is an iPad Mini now? $300? The new one? Yeah. So when?
Oh, no, the new one's probably $400.
Yeah, so the old one, $249 for one. So you're actually right. Six of them you could buy for the price of that, and they're just giving them
actually,
out to family
actually
members.
More because you know they have a six pack, right? You can get six for the price of five, then you could buy another one. You'd have seven for the price of
six. Price of six, seven.
Six.
Price of five.
Wait.
Price of five. Price of five. You get six of them. Yeah. But right. I thought that was amazing.
No.
That
okay.
You know, it really is price. About the price.
Right, but then you buy another one, and you have six.
Yeah. I think it really has come down to the price for a lot of things. You know, I think we are in a little bubble here, and our audience is in a little bubble where we buy the premium-end products, and I'm using that term loosely. We buy the high-end Samsungs. We buy the iPhones. We buy, you know, the Windows phones, and those aren't cheap either, unless you're buying, you know, the lower-end Lumias. But
yeah, I feel that was a a missed opportunity too. But
oh man, we could talk about that for days. How that should have been unsubsidized. But
yep.
Do you think that I see this being a major trend this year? And this is bad for Apple because normally every year, I mean, up until the last couple of years, I would recommend people buy an iPod Touch for their kid, you know, their teenage kid. If they don't have an iPhone, get an iPod Touch. Or get, you know, get an iPad if you want to spend that money. But now, even the people that were willing to do that 2-3 years ago are realizing that a lot of this stuff is disposable. A lot of this stuff is being replaced every year or two. So they don't want to spend the $500 on a tablet.
Sure.
I got asked about these lower-end Windows tablets and Windows laptops and Chromebooks. I mean, everybody's fascinated by these things. How can you sell this thing for $199?
So, you know, the funny thing is actually these are decent laptops. You can get a Stream 11 or that IdeaPad. I think it's got 100S is the model. And they're both high-quality machines. I mean, they're too small for me. I'm humongous, but I mean, 11-inch screen. Just about a full-size keyboard, not quite, but close to a full-size keyboard. Decent specs for the price, right? 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of onboard storage. But it's a full Windows PC. You get 365 personal, it's a $70 value. I think on the – it might be on both of them, but at least on the Lenovo, I think you also get a $50 gift certificate to the Windows Store, meaning the you know, the app game and console store. And that's, I mean, you know, after a while, it's like, why don't you just send me a check?
Yeah.
Give me the computer and give me some money.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I feel like people were probably really burned for the most part by netbooks a few years back. And I know when you look at these machines, you think, oh man, they're doing netbook again. And it's really not that bad. It's not, they're not as sad as netbooks were. In fact, they're decent. My wife uses an HP Stream 11 every day. Not as her primary computer, but she uses it on a standing desk. And she really likes the typing experience on it. She really likes the keyboard.
Yeah, I was actually shocked at the keyboard. It's actually a really good keyboard. My father-in-law has this one, the Stream 11, but he has the mm-hmm. the older model, not the latest
one. Yeah,
not
the one that just came out. Yeah.
Actually, I'm looking at, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at on Amazon right now, and you could get the 8.1 version. This is fascinating. You get the 8.1 version for $179.99 and the Windows 10 version is $199 for the 11.6 inch. I wonder what the spec difference is, though, because they're not listing it here.
It's a slightly new, you know, it's the newer Rev Atom processor is the big difference. I would still spend the $20 and get the Windows 10 version just because you don't have to go through the hassle of installing Windows 10. There's going to be a storage issue there. But also some of those perks, you know, like I suspect both of them will come with Office 365. But maybe only the newer one might come with a store coupon. But regardless of that, I just to not go through the complexity of having to upgrade your OS, just get the Windows 10 version.
Yeah. They even have a 13-inch version of this. So, I mean, these are the things that's I'm seeing people asking the questions and buying, and I was surprised on how many gadgets are being sold this year. Like, you know, my mother-in-law wants to buy one of these tablets for everybody, you know, $49. You know, she was asking me, would your brothers want
one of,
this?
What did you call them? One of these what?
Tablets.
Oh, tablets. For some reason,
No. I heard the Fire. Yeah, the Fire.
Yeah, I heard when you said tablets, I heard apples.
one of these apples.
$50 at the Apple Store will buy you a pair of headphones, a cable of some kind.
You could get $50 at the Apple Store, you're buying a USB 2 cable.
Yeah, exactly.
So, maybe a Thunderbolt cable if you're lucky.
I haven't bought a Fire tablet in a while. When they switched to the HDX versions for the high-end tablets, I didn't really like the form factors that much. I didn't like changes they made to the OS where they really turned it into like an Amazon front end, you know, with a shelf and everything just for Amazon content. I will say that this new version of the OS appears to have changed that somewhat. It looks more like regular Android.
It does, yeah.
Which I think is better. I have not experienced it, so I can't really say that for sure. But based on the photos I've seen, and you know, they're $50. I mean, these are probably safe choices for kids, and it's not a huge investment if something goes wrong. Amazon has really good customer service, believe it or not. But you know, more to the point, it's not a huge investment. So
no, I mean, and you know what's so. They have some deal happening for Black Friday, and I can't remember, John, our editor, sent me, because we're putting together like a Black Friday list that we do every year at on the website. And
there'll be some Xbox news soon, by the way.
Will? Ooh, okay. which I was going to talk to you about that next, but $49 is for the Fire 7-inch. Yes, for the 7-inch. And then the 6-inch is $99. So I'm guessing the 6-inch has better specs overall than the 7-inch.
They may not be of the same product family. I mean, the new 49-inch $49 version might be like a new design that's cheaper. You know, like cheaper to make, cheaper in specs. You know, I don't. It's possible that the
6 display
is from the previous gen.
Okay, so the 6 is an HD display, whatever they're calling that. I think it's 1280 by 800, and the 7-inch is 1024 by 600, something like that.
Yeah, so it's kind of garbagey. Yeah.
$49.
$49.
You know? How garbagey is this? At $49, you could really justify this, right? You could really justify buying 6 of these and giving it to all like the kids in the family.
Yeah, we could buy a 6-pack.
That's exactly what my mother.
And that's the ad. You know, my wife kind of commented on this. She doesn't really pay attention to this kind of stuff too much. But there was an ad on TV where they showed the little. It looks like a 6-pack holder with the tablets in it. You know,
yeah.
And she said, "Are they seriously selling like a 6-pack of these tablets?" And I said, "Well, they are actually." It sounds so stupid. You know?
It does, like, but I'm telling you right now, I could guarantee there are 6 people that you know that would love to get one of these.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, your kids, nieces, nephews, cousins, uncles, you know, there are people out there that want to get these. My mother-in-law was asking, would you want one of these? You wouldn't want one of these, right? I go, of course I would. Of course I would. Who wouldn't want one of these? The other thing I noticed, Paul, and I thought this was a little gimmicky, there are, and I can't even name the companies, but they're selling these gigantic tablets for kids. You can go to like Toys R Us and buy them. It's like some off brand. I've never heard of them. And they're gigantic tablets. It's like a big, like 12, 13 inch tablet.
Jeez,
and it's for
kids. Are they padded or something? Are they?
Yeah, it's like they have like the thing on the side. And they're running like a weird version of Android, like some special like child edition of Android, which you could actually get that. Amazon has that actually. They have a Fire Kids edition.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
But it's something like that. It's like that kind of concept where, you know, it's kind of locked down with the type of stuff you could download, type of stuff that you could watch. And that seems to be a big hit too. But those things are costing, like, I know some of them are like $300, $400.
Yeah.
Those kid editions, and you could just buy the same exact thing. I'm sure there's if it's an off brand, somebody else is making it for half the price.
I mean, I think, you know, if you're in a family that's buying expensive iPads for kids, there's a special place in hell for you. But certainly there are people who buy an expensive iPad or an iPhone or whatever device it is, and as they upgrade, they hand them down to kids, and that's not something that helps anyone for Christmas, but. Or the holidays or whatever, but it's certainly better than buying a $300 to $700 or $800 tablet from Apple and handing it to a child that's still in elementary school is just, the definition of irresponsibility.
Yeah, let's
really.
Take this iPad Air and just fling it across the room.
Yeah, it's just, wait for the next tantrum, you know, when they can't download that app they want.
So you mentioned you had Xbox news. Can you talk about it now or no?
No,
okay.
We cannot.
Okay.
But I hear there's something coming.
Is something coming in the next couple of weeks?
Oh, sooner than it's for Black Friday. So Black Friday is not that far away.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So a product?
No. Black Friday.
Okay. Because
there's no new product surprises for Xbox. You know, in the near future.
Are we going to get a Halo controller? What are we talking
surprise,
about?
Surprise! Right. We made a new smaller Xbox One. I'm sorry if you bought one recently.
Yeah, I would love that. I would love a smaller Xbox One.
I would too, but next year at the earliest.
Do you still think that's going to happen?
Yeah, definitely.
A refresh version that's because, cheaper?
Yeah, they're smaller. You know, that's the way components go. This way, you know, component pricing goes. I feel like they made some really serious design mistakes with the Xbox One, which is weird because they got some stuff wrong that was really right about the Xbox 360, including the availability of really easy to access and swap out storage, right? And so you can add USB storage to the Xbox One, but that actually just compounds the size and complexity problem of the device because you get a bunch of external storage hanging off of it. What you really want is a smaller Xbox that has a clip-on or a slide-out hard drive, which is what we had on the 360.
Yeah.
And if you want to switch to an SSD or, you know, a larger capacity drive or whatever, it's really easy and you can't
do that. It's not an SSD in there, right?
Well, no, not in most of the models out there, but there's a new, there's a 1 terabyte version of the Xbox One that just started shipping in the past few weeks, I think. And it's a 1 terabyte hybrid drive. So I believe what that means is it's a 1 terabyte hard drive, but it also has a SSD or flash memory based on the front of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how big it is, you know, 16 or whatever. And it's, you know, it speeds the access demonstrably. So you can buy that.
I'm looking at it right now. They have the Fallout 4 bundle. It's a 1 terabyte.
I think you can buy it standalone as well. You know, when they went down to 350 on the console, I think the original selling price of this console by itself is probably $500.
Trying to see. $399, not bad.
$399.
Yeah, $399. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. And you have different... I'm on Amazon right now. I'm looking at this. 1 terabyte, 3-game holiday bundle, so you can get it with 3 games. Comes with Halo 5.
Yeah, so that's actually... That's the big news for Xbox this fall or this holiday season is all these bundles. There's a bunch of bundles. Yeah. And custom versions of the console, which may or may not be interesting to you, but a lot of them come with games, a bunch of games in some cases, you know, more storage with that particular console.
So it's shipping November 21st. So I guess it's been announced. So here's the weird thing. Okay, so if you get Madden 2016, right? It's $381. If you get it with the 3 games that include Halo 5 and Gears of War and Rare Replay. So I don't know what that is. I guess it's like classic games.
That's right.
Yep. And I think you get to pick the games. Oh, 3 games plus Halo 5. So you're getting 4 games. Nice. Wow, that's great.
And how much is that?
$399.
Yeah. You know, so $50, which is as much or less than the cost of 1 game. You get, what is it, 4 games in that case.
Yeah, I'm going to put a link in the chat room for anybody that's interested in this. That's actually a phenomenal, phenomenal deal. I think I may pick that up. I used the Xbox with the new interface over the weekend. Mm-hmm. What do you think of it before I tell you what I think?
I like it a lot.
I do,
you
too.
Know, it's not the... You know, I always feel like with the power in the console that the user interface should really fly. And through some combination of Windows 10 underneath it and just UI changes that have sped the number of steps, you know, it is a lot faster. It's especially fast when you know how to navigate around. So if you haven't done, I don't know if we talked about this, but it, you know, you can use the bumpers on the controller to quickly go left and right through the UI.
Yeah.
But you can use the triggers on the controllers to go up and down as well. And so once you kind of figure that out, it's really quick to get around. And I just think it works well. This is a UI type that for Microsoft dates back actually over a decade now to Media Center and Portable Media Center. It kind of, you know, up, down, left, right, you know, whatever, I don't know what you call that, but it works well. It works really well with a controller. It works well with a remote.
Have you, I didn't use it with a remote, and that was going to be my next question to you. Have you used it with a remote? Because,
What
I'm thinking of doing, and this is just maybe overkill, I'm sure people are going to say, well, this is crazy. I was thinking about getting an Xbox for the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Just for an entertainment console. Just for entertainment, not for gaming.
Yep.
Because I like to play games every now and then, so I like having that option.
I just wish it was smaller, you know, and quieter.
Loud, right?
Excuse me. What would be interesting to me would be a smaller Xbox, obviously, but more important would be an all SSD Xbox, just for the, you know, presumed quietness of that, I guess. Although obviously a lot of it's just fan noise. That would be a living room device I'd be very interested in. And you know, Microsoft at one time was working on a version of the Xbox One that was like this, that wouldn't have played the games. You know, like I don't know if it would have played some of the lower end games or you know, no games at all. But it was really designed as an entertainment set top box, and I'd love a device like that. You know,
I still have my original Xbox that I had modded, where I was running XBMC on there. And I hooked it up the other day just so I could see it, and the thing still works.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's. I also have an original 360 that I got on launch day, and that still works also. I guess I'm one of the only people on this planet that still has an original one working.
There's like a scratching sound that's occurring at the hotel room door. So if a zombie or a vampire or something comes in here, I just want you to know that.
I always knew that the zombie apocalypse would happen in the UK.
It's like 28 days later.
That's where it begins.
Yeah.
It always does. We're safe for another month.
Strange sound.
Are they scratching at the door?
Yeah, it's almost like I'm sure what it is some kind of air pressure thing, and it's causing the door to move in the.
Go see what it is. Take the camera.
Okay. It seems like, yeah, I'll do another call with the camera. It seems like it's a dog or something scratching at the door, but.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's the Xbox announcement. Possibly.
No, I've heard that there are some Black Friday deals coming.
I'll wait a week. Did you see that ridiculous list that Oprah put out for the holiday? Like, she has like a tech list now.
No, I did not see.
Yeah, it's like her you know, like favorite things list. She has a tech list that was featured on Amazon, on the front page of Amazon. It seems to have disappeared.
Well,
at
she's
this point.
Doing this. I'm going to start recommending women's products because I think it's important that we all branch out into things we know nothing about.
Yeah, and I don't know if they got a bad vibe about this, but it's no longer on the front page of Amazon. And I looked at the list, and it was ridiculous. The things that she was recommending were like so
dumb.
I'd
like to recommend a Vivace handbag. It's handmade by artisans in northern Italy or something.
Tuscany. Yeah. So I don't know. You know, I think next week will be interesting when we do the show. So next week is Thanksgiving. Are you back on Tuesday?
Yeah, I'll be back for Tuesday.
Okay, so I guess we'll do the show on Tuesday, and then maybe we could do our Black Friday our yearly Black Friday show, which a lot of people really enjoy when we do that. We go through a list of products that we like for Black Friday, some deals that we know are coming out, and then we talk about it. I think on her list, she actually had a Surface Pro 4, Paul. Which I was shocked.
Say again?
She had Oprah had a Surface Pro 4 on her list of recommended tech for the holidays.
It's okay.
I wonder how much Microsoft, possibly paid her.
I mean, obviously, Oprah is not a human being anymore. Oprah is an organization that includes thousands of employees, and I'm sure that these recommendations are coming from highly paid people.
Yeah.
Within that organization.
So I think we hadn't spoken the last, I don't know if we spoke when the update came out, the Threshold 2 update, but I did go ahead and install a clean version of Windows 10 that I made off of I put it on a bootable USB on a machine, and I put in a Windows 7 key and it worked.
Yes. Nice.
Oh my God. It was
Isn't that the best?
Oh, it was so much better, but you know what was the baffling thing?
Do you feel like you just did something wrong, like you got away with something?
Yeah. I almost feel like I put in an invalid key and Microsoft,
and
a glitch.
It worked magically, and you're like, huh.
And I'm going to get a pop-up in about 30 days that tell me that I have to authenticate my version of Windows. It works really well, and I have to tell you, the process of installing Windows 10 with nothing on it, it's like night and day. I mean, it's super, super fast. In 20 minutes on an SSD, I had Windows running.
That's great.
Yeah. Was it a problem implementing that initially? Because with the whole like the CD key thing, it was a lot of confusion. Like, we didn't know how it would work.
So if they had, it's reasonable the way they did it originally, except that in some cases, people, and I experienced this myself, you do an upgrade, you go through the steps to upgrade the computer, and then you clean install, because the promise from Microsoft is once you've successfully activated it, you'll be able to do a clean install. And I feel like that's a reasonable thing to expect of people. It is an upgrade, actually have them upgrade the computer. The problem is that when people did that, it would not activate on the clean install, and now they've blown away their computer. They don't have Windows 7 or Windows 8 anymore. They don't have any way to install it, and congratulations. And, the story for Microsoft was no problem. Just call product support. They'll give you activation over the phone. And what happened was people called, and they were like, you're going to have to reinstall it. This is not going to work. And I think the system they have now is a response to that, because, who knows what technical problem caused this, but this is a reasonable next step. If the technical solution they had before didn't work, well, let's just let people use their Windows 7 or Windows 8 product key. And so I think you could, you know, some people will argue they should have just done this from the beginning. But remember, this isn't really about giving people free copies of Windows 10. It's, you know, it's about upgrading existing computers to Windows 10, right? So if you have a Windows 7 key sitting around, you could use it on a new computer. What they really want to do is get Windows 7 off of the computers, you know, that are out there in the world. I mean, and Windows 8 to a lesser extent. So
more Windows 8, I guess, than Windows 7.
Well, no, more Windows 7, really, because Windows, meaning, not from a, like a user experience standpoint, but just it's older code. It's not really engineered for the security concerns of today specifically, where Windows 8 sort of is. They want fewer versions of Windows out in the world to support. And so, you know, part of the goal is, you know, there's this huge audience of Windows 7 users out there. Let's get as many of them as possible on Windows 10. Not by installing Windows 10 on a new computer, but by installing Windows 10 on your Windows 7 computer and getting rid of Windows 7. You know? That's the point of the upgrade.
Well, and I'll tell you, Windows 7 is really dated, and I use it, but when you compare it to Windows 10, when you go from a Windows 10 machine and you go to Windows 7, it feels old. It feels like how it was with XP. You know, starting to get really old feeling.
So, the you know what the biggest difference is? And this is true, by the way, regardless of what version of Windows you were using. Obviously, Windows XP is out of date, is out of support, but Windows 7, Windows 8, 8.1, whatever. When you go to Windows 10, the biggest change, and you won't really see this in the beginning, this will be more meaningful down the road, is when you go to clean install this thing 6 months down the road, 1 year down the road, 3 years down the road, what you're not going to get is that thing you do get. Like if you were to install Windows 7 today, you would have something like 887 updates to Windows Update. You wouldn't be able to install all of them on the first pass. Some of them would just fail, but it would take forever. And then you reboot the computer, and then there's like 137 more, and you do those, and then you reboot, and there's like eight more, and it's like an all-day affair. And the way they handle Windows 10, which is really a big difference, is they do these cumulative updates that combine all of the updates from the past, you know, weeks or months, whatever it is. And you'll never see more than a handful of updates in Windows 10. And then every quarter, or every so often, so far it's been on the quarter, they release a new version of Windows 10. And when you download the ISO to do a clean install, you get all those updates combined. You don't have to, you know, you're not going back to Windows 8 RTM or, you know, like Windows 7 with the newest version was Windows 7 with Service Pack 1.
Yeah.
Which is many, many years old.
And they also had that weird issue with the CD keys on for Windows 10. Windows 7, I thought it was because I'm using that like promotional bomber copy that they gave out. Yeah, that Windows 7 party thing.
Sure.
And when I put in the key to download an ISO Windows 7, it brought me, it told me like, hey, it's a valid key. But here are the versions that you could download. And it was every version except for English. It was like Swahili. You know, like That's funny. every language that they support except for English. So, and I asked a couple people that, and that had gone through the same process. I go, you know what? That's so weird because I had the same thing happen. Every time I put in the key, it told me it was a different version of Windows.
Okay.
So I think there might be something wrong with their system.
They don't recognize it correctly.
So something just now that popped up on my computer, I was, you know, when we were talking about Windows 10, I clicked on, you know, just to see, you know, the overall difference because this is the equivalent of a widget now, right? You know, it's in the...
How
we had widgets, the gadgets in Windows?
Mm-hmm. I do.
This is, I guess, like the equivalent of the gadgets right here.
Okay.
You know, that's how I see it, but it's a much better way. I was just thinking that.
I'm not going to admit that, but yes.
Okay, so I noticed this. Do you see this thing here? Lenovo Companion?
Yeah.
I never installed that.
Yeah, except that you did on a different computer.
No, and I never have. This is the only Lenovo that I have running Windows 10.
Oh, so it did it automatically.
I think it did it automatically when it updated to you know, Threshold 2. I think it realized what version of Windows I'm running, and it downloaded the Companion app for the modern app.
So that's actually a useful app to have. On every Windows 10 computer I have, in fact, I'll have it on here. Let me bring it up. I get something called the Dell Document Hub.
Okay.
And the reason I get that thing is because I have a Dell laser printer on my home network. I don't want the Dell Document Hub, and I actually don't know how to get rid of this. But what it does is it helps you manage your printer, obviously, and you can do things like, you can get drivers and software and all that, but more important, you can get supplies. And so it's right now it's trying to see how the toner is in the thing. I can't see it because I'm not on the home network, but it would tell you how the toner was and then you could order toner.
So it knows based on being connected that, hey, he needs
this. I guess
this.
So. I can't, I thought, I thought it was based on my user account. Like somehow it had registered that I installed this app, and I don't know what would possess it to install on every computer I have. But yeah, it must have something to do with the printer being auto-detected by Windows. It doesn't ever tell you that it did this. It just puts the printer in there, and then it triggers a Dell Document Hub download, which is not – I never want this thing.
Yeah. I mean, this is interesting. I've never seen it do this. Right now it's installing the Lenovo System Interface Foundation, and I need to reboot it, so let's restart this. There you go. Restarting. It's so pretty. Look at that. It's a pleasant process. It's not like industrial –
mm-hmm.
Eastern European thing, like we shut down now, you know. Like an old commie, like commie coming and running and screaming at you, like you must shut down. This is over. So pleasant. Yep. So I think a lot of people should be happy with this update. You know, a lot of people were saying like, well, there's not really much here, right? Like, well, what's in this update? That's a big deal. It's not necessarily a major overhaul. It's the little things, it's a little bug fix, it's a little tweaks. If this is something that it's doing now, where it's realizing what hardware you're running and it sees that you need the specific companion software to go with it for driver support from the manufacturer, I think that makes it much better
Windows
for people.
Windows 10 is only 4 months old, right? We're not, we don't ship major new features in 4 months. I mean, we don't need to. That's true on any mobile platform. iOS, same thing. Other platforms? Android, OS 10, it doesn't matter. That's not how stuff gets delivered. I mean, we will eventually see major new features in Windows 10, but right now it's about cleaning stuff up, answering user feedback. And I think this is a great update. I mean, I think they did a great job with it, and that Windows 10 is in much better shape now than it was originally. Not that it was in horrible shape to begin with.
Yeah. I think we're on the right path, luckily. This is that Windows 7 feel all over again, where you're saying like, wow, they finally did it right. They're finally getting it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone in chat says, I've been getting auto downloads for companion apps since Windows 8.1, maybe 8. I never got that with 10 when I did this. Maybe it finally realized that I needed this piece of software, because a couple of things don't work on my Lenovo after updating. I don't, my backlight no longer works. So I can't. But like for the screen, like, you know how it has like backlighting now to make it brighter, like an LED backlit.
You're saying it's not
that. Yeah, like the LED backlit displays. My backlighting does not work.
Wow.
So it's a little dull. Let's see what this is here. What do we have? Optimize your device. So let's click on You can't click on optimize. Okay. I don't know what you are. Storage, fine. You're just showing me things. Memory, fine. Okay. System updates, zero critical updates. Are there any updates? I don't see. This is check for updates. Let's see. Done. There is a problem in retrieving a new update. Thanks. Let's click it again. There is a problem. Schedule Lenovo update. I guess I cannot do an update. I got to play with that later. That's interesting. That it's doing these companion apps. Or I could just go to Lenovo's website and, I don't know, download the drivers like a...
No, actually, you know what? On a Lenovo device, you're actually better off using whatever the utility is. And maybe you'll get that as part of this thing. They have nice... I think it's just called software update or whatever the utility is. But Lenovo has a nice utility of some kind that will make sure you can scan your system, make sure you have the right drivers, and will download the drivers if you don't.
Yeah, it's actually interesting how it works, how well it's detecting it. Oh, wow, there are a bunch of driver updates I'm going to have to do on this later.
Right,
I'll do
that.
So, Paul, what's your schedule like? I know we got to wrap it up a little early. You got to run around. We'll do a couple minutes of a bonus show. Guys, if you're watching live, stay tuned. We're going to do about 10 minutes of a bonus show. I'm going to talk about my travel booking experience, which seems like to be a trend. It was a little bit of a disaster.
I got to tell you about my experience flying here, because it was... It was kind of interesting.
How many connecting flights did you have?
Just one.
Just one connecting.
Just one in Dublin.
Okay, cool. Guys, if you want to support us, you want to watch a bonus show, go to patreon.com/whatthetech. You could help us out there. Also, if you're buying something on Amazon, we spoke about Amazon a lot, you could use our link, gfq.co/Amazon. That's it. gfq.co/Amazon. You could bookmark that. We put in the show notes every week. Bookmark it whenever you buy something, buy it with that link, and we get a tiny little credit from every piece of purchase. Everything that you buy, we get a couple percent here and there, and it works it helps us out. Whenever we do updates in the studio, we have to buy new cameras. We have to buy, I built a brand new production machine and every penny came from that. So deeply, deeply appreciate it, guys. At The Rot on Twitter. You could go to At The Rot. You could go to therot.com. I'm on there every single day. That's where I go for my news, Paul. You're my news source. You're my Bloomberg for tech. I go to therot.com.
I'm your Bloomberg. I have a lot in common with Bloomberg.
A lot. Do you ride horses? Because he's a big horse rider.
I'm big into horsing.
Yeah, I'm big into horsing.
You can tell because
I'm big into horsing. That is the greatest thing I've ever heard. You can follow.
I just fit right in with high society.
Yeah. I can just see you now. I'm really... a little crest on your blazer. You're on a horse, going to rattle and hum.
Yep.
I don't know who rides a horse like this. Is this how you ride a horse?
Oh man, it's how you ride a horse. Am I riding a carousel? Yeah.
You could tell how sophisticated we are here in Queens. I can't tell that my horse riding is riding a Harley.
Sure.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. GFK Network. Guys, subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available, except for possibly Windows Phone, because apparently we are off of Windows Phone, and I have no idea how to get on there. I spoke to Rob Greenlee, and he said the way that you have to do it is submit the RSS to Bing's something. I got to ask him. Like, something in Bing, you got to, like, submit it to your RSS, and then it looks at the subscriptions in Bing to RSS.
Okay.
It's like this convoluted way it's doing it, and you know what? Rob was the one keeping that whole podcasting division alive over there, and unfortunately, he's not there anymore. And Paul Therot is not on a Windows pod in the Windows podcasting store, whatever they're calling it, podcast marketplace.
True?
Yeah, I mean, what the tech what is the not world. There anymore.
Yeah, okay.
For some people, it is in certain countries. Like if you're in Ukraine, you may be able to listen to us.
Okay. Well, at least we have Ukraine. So.
Oh, one more thing to do a little housekeeping here. Apparently, Russia can no longer watch us. Because our host is banned in Russia.
Is that our silent protest against their activities in Ukraine?
I guess that's what it is. We are. If you're in Russia, I apologize. You are not going to be able to subscribe to the RSS anymore because Russia has banned archive.org.
Only you can stand up to the tyrant that is leading your nation.
Yeah. But you can watch us on YouTube. So if you want to watch us on YouTube, feel free. If you guys want to torrent it for people in Russia, go right ahead too. I'm okay with that.
Wow. Yeah. This is like the MST share the tapes thing.
Yeah. All right, guys. That's it for this week. A little shorter. Paul is he's on a tight schedule over in Manchester going to London. It is 9 o'clock here on the East Coast, and we're saying bye-bye for now.